life here. Have you ever tried it, Mary?
Never have.
Oh, you'd like it.
Okay.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. You are a good God. We worship you and we praise you and we honor you. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sit before the Word and to sit before you today and be taught in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night. We love your Word. We cherish your Word and we obey your Word. And we give you all the praise. Give us utterance and give us hearing today, Lord. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The only thing is you get a little out of breath. You may be seated. Hallelujah. That's a pretty good little workout, though. Gee. We are going to be speaking on living long and living strong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Barry, did I have any newspaper clippings in that bag? I left the room in a rush, and I think I left my good clippings about all the people who are 114 and 100. I'll have to do them tomorrow if I don't have them. Anyway, when I was in Louisiana just a few days ago, I was in Tyler, Texas, and on the very day I got there, there was a woman's picture on the front page of it was the Jacksonville, Texas paper, but that's what Tyler has, and she was having her 114th birthday. Glory to God. Now, I wanted to show you her picture, but I'll try to bring it tomorrow. I left in a rush, so to speak. So we're just going to do some scriptures on long life and strong life today. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you about a few people that are in the book, Live Long, Live Strong. And they're not in there. Okay, I'll do it tomorrow. And there have been quite a few people who we have record of. This woman has, the woman I saw in the paper the other day, she was really 115, but they only had a birth certificate that said 114. And when they do the ages, you have to prove how old you are. And not too long ago, a French lady had the honor of being the oldest person. And she lived to be, I think she lived to be about 114 or 15. And there are quite a few people, really, that have gone past the 100 mark. Glory to God. But we are not normal. Everybody knows we're not normal. Isn't that right? Your family knows you're not normal. Your friends know you're not normal. So no telling how long we can live if we'll just get with the program. We're going to talk about, we're going to look at some scriptures. I'm going to read a few from different versions. First of all, I'm going to read Amplified in Proverbs 12. Glory to God. I like this. The older you get, the more you'll like it. So don't, if you're young, just keep this CD and keep it handy. Because should Jesus tarry, you'll be glad to have it. All right, Proverbs 12 says in verse, let me see now, where am I going? Proverbs 12:3, a man, no, that's not what I want. I'm looking in the wrong, I got the wrong reference here, I guess. Proverbs 21, let's see, 12:21, let me see what that says. I'm going to be determined to see where I'm looking here. Hold on, Proverbs 12:3. I'll read it. A man shall not be established by wickedness. So we know that's not going to work. But the root of the uncompromisingly righteous shall never be moved. That's Proverbs 3. And then in verse 21 it says, no actual evil, misfortune, or calamity shall come upon the righteous, but the wicked shall be filled with evil, misfortune, and calamity. So that's one way you won't have to die if you're righteous, misfortune or calamity. I think it's a good thing to miss calamity. What do you think? That covers a lot of territory. No calamity shall come upon the righteous, only life, hallelujah. And then Deuteronomy 30:19. We'll just feed ourselves on these for a while.
Hallelujah.
30:19 says, I call, this is the Lord speaking, and he said just above that, I declare to you, well, in 17 it says, but if your mind and heart turn away, you will not hear, and you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. So if you don't want to live a long time, this is the way to do it. Just turn away from God. Don't be loyal to him. You'll perish, it says, and you shall not live long in the land which you pass over the Jordan to possess it. Then in verse 19 in the Amplified, it says, God says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and the curse. This is the Amplified version. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. So we have a choice. We don't have to live long. We don't have to take life. But we have the blessing on us if we're born again. We're blessed. We're in the covenant of God. We can choose. And he told the Jews that it was their choice. It's still our choice. God calls heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death. So in the Word, God sets before us life and death. He says, do this and you'll live a long time. Do this and your life will be short. So who's it left up to? It's up to us. What do we do? Do we walk with God, talk with God, talk like God, act like God, or do we live like the world, talk like the world, and die like the world, too young? So it's our choice. Heaven and earth is called to witness. I have set before you life and death, blessings and the curses. Therefore, you choose life, that you and your descendants may live and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? If we want to live long and strong, we've got to do it his way. For he is your life and the length of your days. Obey his voice. Cling to him. And we who are of this persuasion in the body of Christ, what we call the word people, that's what we're taught to do. We're taught to obey what he says in the word of God. Amen? Oh, it's to us, we don't have a choice about what we do. If the word says we do it, we do it. Do I hear an amen?
Amen?
So we are in a good position to live long. You love the Lord your God, obey his voice, cling to him. We're passionate about the word of God. Aren't we?
Yes.
We're passionate about the word of God. What have I got in here? Do I have the Chamber of Commerce in here or what? Not that they're not passionate. I'm just saying, are y'all word people?
Yes.
We cling to him.
Yes.
We obey him.
Yes.
Whatever we see in the written word, we say, that's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
Glory to God. Now, Ken and I have been that way for a good while, most of our adult life, I guess. And that's exactly what we do. Whatever we see in the word, that's what we do. And if we don't first succeed, we keep at it until we do succeed. Like, for instance, and you know, sometimes it's a long time before it seems like it's brought all that blessing upon you. But if you'll just stick around and you live long enough, you'll see pretty soon that doing what the Word says is the best way. Let me give you an example. Back there in the early days when we were just barely getting started, hardly started at all, we read the scripture in the Amplified Bible that said, keep out of debt. Well, when I married Kenneth, I married Kenneth in his notes. He was in debt when I married him, but I was too young and ignorant to think about it, you know. I didn't think about what it was like to have debt. So So we had debt from the beginning of our marriage. Now we still don't have anything at this point. We have some little children, but we still don't have a house. We don't have nice furniture. We don't have a good car. And we're just going into the ministry, just stepping out by faith. Ken's a freshman at OR, 30-year-old freshman at ORU. And we see in the Amplified Bible, it says, keep out of debt. Now, he's still got notes at the bank to pay off. And we don't have a regular income. And we see this scripture, it looks like we're doomed. If we can't charge anything, we probably still maybe had a few department stores to still pay off. I don't remember for sure, but at any rate, we didn't see how we could obey the word and not borrow money or not charge anything. So we saw that in the Bible, and we'd already made up our mind. We're word people. We'd heard enough to know we were word people. We were going to stay on the word regardless. And so we said, okay, well, you know, we couldn't afford to have a return check. I mean, in those days, it cost $3 for a return check. Think about it. And so we couldn't afford that. So we said, okay, we'll just pay cash. We'll, if we don't have money, we just won't buy groceries, you know, or gas or whatever. But we're not going to borrow money. And we're going to pay off our debts. So that's what we started doing. And you know, the Lord helped us. He really did, thank God. He helped us. I'd go in the grocery store and I'd have just a little certain amount of money. And I'd just pray in tongues that I had enough money to get out of that store without being embarrassed. But you know, I don't remember ever having to put things back. God took care of us. We learned quickly the blessing God on us. And you know, back in those days, interest was probably 3 or 5%. Those are the old days. Yeah. And look at all we've avoided and all the money we've saved all these years. By paying cash for a car, paying cash for a house, paying cash for groceries, paying cash for airplanes, buildings, land. Glory to God. You see, if we're faithful, God will be faithful. And so that was our experience. And I tell you, it was a blessing. Whatever you see in the scripture is going to be a blessing. It may be tough at first because you've been raised different. And you don't, like we did. We didn't have any regular income. Ken was a student. I think he got about $100 a month being co-pilot on Brother Robert's airplane once a month. You know, one trip, and God took care of us, and we had a little rent house there, and it was just awful. In fact, I didn't unpack for several days. And here's how bad it was. It was so bad that Ken got a paintbrush and painted it. Now, you may not know how bad that is, but that's the last thing I ever saw him paint. That's the last wall that I remember he ever painted. But we're so thankful that God revealed those things to us and that we were able. Now all this stuff is coming down the pike and things are tough and things are hard and people are in debt. But God's taught us, and many of you have learned the same lesson, how to walk by faith, how to live and obey the word of God, how to believe God. God is good. And everything he tells us in the word is for our good. It says, I call heaven and earth to witness this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and the curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live and may love the Lord your God, obey his voice, cling to him. For he is your life and the length of your days. So long life is how has to do with long life in the blessing. You know, you can live. Some people live a long life in the curse, but they don't enjoy life. But long life in the blessing is obeying his voice, clinging to him, knowing he is our life and the length of our days. Glory to God. So we choose long life. We make a practice of, we said, okay, we're going to go God's way. We're going to do what the Word says. We're going to obey Him. And I know a lot of you have made the same decision. And it's not always easy, but it's always better. How many of you agree with that from your own experience? It wasn't easy, but it was better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And really, when you learn how to use your faith, it makes all things possible to you. Where before, it's just what you can do by the sweat of your brow. But when you begin to worship God and walk with Him and become a tither and a sower and act on His Word, He gets in your business with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So in Deuteronomy, it said, we love Him, we cling to Him, for He is our life and the length of our days. God wants us to live long and live strong. 1 John, I'll read the scripture from the King James, 1 John 2. Hallelujah. Don't you love the Word?
Amen.
1 John 2. Well, you don't ever get over that. The more you know, the more you love it. The more you enjoy it. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and the Father. And verse 27 says, but the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but that as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in Him. So we go to the Word and we see what God says about it and we endeavor to do it. And when we miss it, thank God we repent. We can repent. We're not doomed. We repent and say, Lord, forgive me. I set myself to go at it again. Amen. We stay with the program. So we want to live long and live strong. And we want to do it in the power of the living God. Let me just check something out here. The path of the uncompromisingly just and righteous is like the light of dawn that shines more and more brighter and clearer until it reaches full strength and glory in the perfect day. And Solomon said, my son, here's the key, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Every good thing that's happened to us in our lives, supernaturally with the Word of God, has been because we went with God's Word. And the same thing is true in your life. And this is the key to life. Attend to the Word. Give attention to it. Submit to it. Do what it says. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health and healing to all their flesh. So the Word of God prospers us, but the Word of God also heals us and keeps us strong. And as we walk in God and obey Him, the blessing is on us and the curse is not on us. Now what is it the Bible says about the curse? It says every sickness and every disease is under the curse. So when the blessing's on you, there's no sickness and no disease. Sometimes people get sick. Sometimes we get sick. Sometimes symptoms come. But we know that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. And we know that in the Bible, it teaches us that every sickness and every disease is under the curse. And healing is under the blessing. And Jesus redeemed us from the curse that the blessing might come on us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Yes, it takes faith. Yes, it does. But we have faith. Now, let's look at Psalm 91 and 3 through 5. Well, let's start up here at the beginning. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. This is the Amplified Version. Under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. Boy, that's a powerful word, isn't it? We stay fixed under His shadow, under His wings, abiding in Him. To abide in the Lord is to obey Him. John talks to us about abiding in Him. Here's our part. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. I have to say something. You have to say something. We say something good about the Lord. We say, He's my refuge. In other words, we're saying He takes care of me. I run into Him in trouble. He's my strong wall. He's my fortress, my God, my Father. I trust Him, or I have faith in Him, in other words. I lean on Him. Then it says in verse 3, then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Well, we know who the fowler is. That's Satan. He goes around to foul things up. But we abide in the Lord and we say so, and the fowler can't have any place in us because we get delivered from him. Amen. The Lord, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Now, when you begin to study the deliverance and the promises in the Word of God, they have nothing in common with what's going on in the natural world. It doesn't matter if there's a troop and an army coming after you, or if it didn't matter if Israel was outnumbered or whatever the situation was. What mattered was, did they trust in the Lord? What matters with us is, do we trust in the Lord? It doesn't matter what the world's going through. We don't like to see the world going through things, but we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we have our place is with God, and the blessing of God is upon us. Amen? So we're not moved by what we read in the newspaper. Why is that? Because Jesus is our Lord. Because we're in Him. And we have a refuge that the natural world out there doesn't have. But that refuge is enforced by our faith. And by our knowledge. If we don't know about it, if we don't know what the Word says about our deliverance, we can't believe it. So I'm glad we're Word people, and we are Word people. And we're not just some Word people. We believe we should do what the Word says as well as receive the blessing on us. Amen? He'll cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His shield and His faithfulness, the Word of God and God's faithfulness to that Word, are a shield and a buckler. That's what protects us, what shields us, that's what keeps us. We are not afraid of the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. Why not? Because we're in the refuge. We're in God. We're in the Word. We take Him at His Word. We believe His Word. We're faith people. We speak His Word. Amen? Believe you receive when you pray, and you shall have, the Scripture says. I mean, people don't understand us, but I'm not going to change it because people don't understand us. I understand. I understand that it's good to have a refuge. I understand that faith works. I understand it when no weapon formed against me prospers. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I understand when we have our needs met. In tough times, in easy times, whatever, our needs are met. Our needs, your needs are met if you're in faith and if you're on the Word and you're a blesser and a tither. Amen? So we understand that. We don't have any fear of these things. Here's how bad it can get. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee or near you, in the Amplified. So there is 11,000 people. You're in the midst of 11,000 people. All of them but one might fall, But if you're that one in the Lord, trusting and abiding, you're safe and secure. I tell you, these are good words for us today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 11,001 people. And one people's left, and that's you and me. Because we're in the Word. We're in faith. Glory to God. It says, only a spectator shall you yourself, shall you be yourself inaccessible in the secret place. So, in other words, by that I get that trouble may be around you. If you are a spectator, there's bad things happening around you. But it doesn't get to you. Only a spectator shall you be yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High as you witness the reward of the wicked or the lawless, or those without a covenant. So it doesn't, Psalm 91 doesn't indicate to us that there's no trouble around. It just says if the trouble's around, it won't be around you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I believe that. I take comfort in that. I believe God to provide for us, all of us that are on the Word in faith, regardless of what's happening in the world, regardless of what the economy does, or what sickness and disease comes, or whatever's happening out there. We have a refuge. Amen. We take our place. We might see it, we might witness it. The next verse says, you might witness the reward of the wicked, but you'll just be a spectator. Because you have made the Lord your refuge. The Lord is my refuge. Say that. The Lord is my refuge. And because of that, trouble has to go somewhere else.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There shall, in the Most High, your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. Is that an awesome scripture? For he will give his angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of service and obedience. We've got angels. We've got security. Hallelujah. Big, strong angels all the time. Every time you go to the grocery store, you've got security going with you. Hallelujah. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me. Because we have set our love upon him. Therefore will I deliver him, God says. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me. See, that's our part. We trust and rely on him, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never. Glory to God. God will not forsake us. Hallelujah. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. So the word doesn't say we won't have trouble. It says God will be with us. I will deliver him and honor him. When? In trouble. In trouble, God delivers us and honors us. With long life. I like this scripture. The older you get, the better you like it. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation or deliverance. So how long should we live till we're satisfied? Long time. We ought to have a blessed life, a good life. We ought not be looking forward to death. If you're looking forward to death, you're not doing it right. Because the blessing's not on you. When the blessing's on you, you don't look forward to dying. You look forward to living. And the blessing, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, the blessing comes on you. Now, you may not know about it. You may not know how to agree with it and receive it. But it belongs to you. So if you don't know, get busy. Get in the Word. Find out the things like we're reading to you right now. and do it. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So how long should you live? Till you're satisfied. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you live long enough, there'll be a day you'll be satisfied. And you'll be thinking, Lord, it's about time for me to split. I've lived a long time. I've had a good run. I've had a good life. I've been blessed. And I'm ready to just go on over to the other side. Hallelujah. Finish your course, though. You got to finish your course before you chicken out of here. We got to live the full number of our days and then go. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Now, let's look at, so here, let's take this. We live until we're satisfied according to this. And with long life, so we know long life's the will of God for those who walk with God, who obey God, who follow God, who call upon Him. With long life will I satisfy Him. Satisfy, if you look that up in Strong's, it says to have enough. Fill, full, be full of, have plenty of, satisfy, satisfied. So you want to come to the place where you have plenty of life. You've lived here long enough till you're satisfied. You know, your children are grown, your grandchildren are grown, your great-grandchildren are grown. And, you know, you're getting satisfied. Glory to God. Things are good. We don't want to be evicted. We want to be satisfied. Have plenty of life, and then it'll be all right for you to depart. That's all it is. When you die, your spirit man departs from your body. And your body has no life in it. The body's your earth suit. It's just your earth suit. It's just what your spirit wears down here. But your spirit can depart. To be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. And that ain't bad. Glory to God. So, you know, you need to see things as they are. We don't need to be afraid of death, but we do want to live out the full number of our days. We want to do all the things God's called us to do. We want to be satisfied that we've done what our calling is and what He's called us to do, and that we've walked the walk and finished our work. And then, if we're ready, when the right time comes, you don't even have to be sick to die. What do you have to do to die? Leave. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that is true if you're a believer, if you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. If you're here and you've never done that, then you need to do that, because when you die, you do depart and you go up or down. Altitude is better. And it depends on who you belong to. Who do you belong to? I belong to the Lord. How many of you belong to the Lord? Now, how do you get to where you belong to the Lord? You make a decision and you say, Lord, I receive you as my, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it. Glory to God. What a privilege and an honor. Now, Hebrews 9:26 says, it is appointed unto men once to die. So you're either going to die by by leaving, or you're going to die by something else. So we want to finish our course. We want to live out the number of our days, which according to what I see in the Bible would be 120 years. Y'all are awful quiet. So what about the 70 or 80 that we've always heard as a tradition? Well, let me read that to you. You probably already know this, but I like to read it anyway. So in Psalm 90, the footnote in the Amplified Bible gives us a clue about that. It says here in Psalm 90 in the Amplified in verse 9, let's look at 10. For the days of our years are 70. or even if by reason of strength, 80 years, 80 years. Now that's where we get 70 or 80 years. 70 or 80 years. That's kind of a tradition that as though that would be a full lifespan. But now let me read you the footnote on that scripture in the Amplified. This psalm is credited to Moses, who is interceding with God to remove the curse which made it necessary for every Israelite over 20 years of age, when they rebelled against God dying at 70 years of age. Those were the rebellious children of Israel in the wilderness. The number has often been mistaken as a set span of life for all mankind, 70 or 80. How many of you heard that? Well, a full life is 70 or 80 years. It was not intended to refer to anyone except Israelites under the curse during that particular 40 years. In other words, it was the children in the wilderness had a life cap put on them of 70 or 80 years. 70 years has never been the average span of life for humanity. When Jacob, the father of the 12 tribes, reached 130 years, he complained that he had not attained to the years of his immediate ancestors. In other words, he didn't live as long as Abraham. Moses himself lived to be 120 years old. Aaron, 123, and Miriam, several years older, and Joshua, 110 years of age. Notice well that in the millennium, a natural person dying at 100 will still be thought of as a child in Isaiah 65:20. So 70 or 80 years was the cap put on the children of Israel in the wilderness. God wasn't going to wait 120 years for them to die, and so he could go on with his plan. But if you had to set an age in the scripture, 120 years would be what I would say would be a normal lifespan. Moses lived to be that long. Some of the others lived to be older. So, you know, tradition, you have to check traditions out with the word and see if they're accurate. So 70 or 80 years was only for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Now, if you want to know where that is, it's in this explanation is the footnote for Psalm 90 in the Amplified Bible. This has been misunderstood to mean our lifespan is 70 or 80 years. Genesis 6:3 would be the closest thing we have to a suggested age. Look that up. Genesis 6:3. If you had to pick an age, this would be the closest thing we have to it. But of course, there have been people that live longer than this. And there have been modern people that have lived to be 114, 115. I just left my papers at home today, but I have several of those. Okay, where did I say go? Let me look. Okay. I got sidetracked there. Genesis 6:3. This would be the closest thing we have if you just had to pick an age to shoot for. But now Psalm 91 says we live till we're satisfied. This says, the Lord said, when men began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair, and they took wives of all they desired and chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not forever dwell and strive with man, for he also is flesh, but his days shall be yet 120. Now that was before the flood. People lived longer before the flood. But people live that long now. Now let me just tell you give you some examples of centenarians here. This is... These are people in modern days. And you know, there's centenarians around. We have two in the body of Christ that I'm very familiar with. One is Mama Jenkins from New York, or New Jersey. She's, I believe, 102. And another one that I know that comes to the meetings is Dad Clark, who lives in Dallas, and he is now 107. He was 105 when I first met him, and now he's 107. He's a very tall, straight, slender man, exercises, dresses immaculately. He's always dressed up, got his hat on. 107. I mean, he's not like this. No. Glory to God. In fact, in this book, I did I think I put him in this book and talked about him some. But here are some from the past that have lived long. Jean Calment was the longest woman living, the longest person in a long time. She lived to be 122 years old. She's French. And she died in 1997 at 122. And then there was a woman named Sarah Knaus in Pennsylvania. She died at 119 in 1999. She was born in 1880. Another one, born Lucy Hanna, born in Alabama. You know how they eat in Alabama. They eat fried stuff and all that good stuff. She lived to be 117. Glory to God. Go, Lucy. And then Mary Louise Milner from Canada, Quebec. She died, was born in 1880, died in 1998 at 117. Here's one from Ecuador, 189. 1889, that would be a little old. That might be a stretch right there. She was born in 1889 and she died in 2006. She was 116. And then there are several others here, a lot of others. Here's one in Japan at 114. England, Charlotte Hughes in England, 115. And these are some of the centenarians that we know about. When I did this book a couple of years ago, there were currently estimated at 40,000 centenarians were estimated at 40,000 in the United States. So there were 40,000 people over 100 in the United States. This is a little more than one centenarian per 10,000 in the population. And you know, they're not necessarily Christians. I mean, this woman that lived to be 122, this French woman. No, it was one of them. I don't think it was a French woman, but it was a different one. She lived way on up there, and she smoked cigarettes. So who knows, you know. But I don't recommend that for long life. I'm just telling you, that woman did it. And centenarians, it says, are the fastest growing segment of our population. Glory to God. Isn't that good news? We're living longer and stronger. Of the 70 million strong baby boomer generation, approximately 3 million can expect to become centenarians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many baby boomers are here? What? Hallelujah. Surely you can be one of 3 million. Glory to God. Today's centenarians disprove the perception that the older you get, the sicker you get. They prove instead that the older you get, the healthier you've been. It is impossible to markedly delay or even escape, and that it's possible to markedly delay or escape age-associated diseases. 88% of centenarians, that's people over 100, are functionally independent. 88%, that's good. The vast majority of their lives until the age of about 92 and 75% are the same at the average age of 95. Functionally independent. Many centenarians stay mentally alert and active. 30% have experienced no significant changes in their thinking abilities. So we can be one of 30%. Amen? The characteristics centenarians do have in common include a low rate of obesity.
Ooh.
So remember that. You live longer if you're not obese. Substantial smoking history is rare, and they handle stress better than the majority of people. Now, church, we ought to have a good, strong foothold there. Because if we're faith people, we don't need to be in stress. You can't be in stress and in faith. Faith believes it receives when it prays, so it doesn't have any stress. Because it believes it receives when it prays. Amen? Faith takes the answer, believes it receives, goes free, and let God work it out. Hallelujah. So we have an advantage because we can walk by faith. We should live longer than all these people. Glory to God. The oldest individual officially on record at this time is Madame Jean Comment, who died at the age of 122 years. She's famous. To get a sense of how long she lived, consider this. In 1875, the year she was born, the telephone had not been invented. The outlaw Jesse James was still running loose in the American West. In 1954, when she was 79 years old, Stalin had just passed from the world scene. Eisenhower was in the White House, and the Third Republic had just come into power in her native country of France. In 1995, when she gave her last television interview 2 years before she died, Bill Clinton was president. The U.S. space shuttle was connecting with the Russian space shuttle. So she lived quite a stretch, didn't she? Glory to God. Hallelujah. She witnessed the changing world. She was healthy and active well into her hundreds. 100 and something. She was healthy until after she was 100 and something. Doesn't say what. It said that she was. Now listen to this. This woman is an inspiration. It says she was still riding her bicycle around town at 100 years old. Yay! Glory to God. Having outlived her husband, her only child, and her grandchild, she outlived the whole bunch. By the time the photographers and reporters arrived in droves to join in her celebration at a 120th birthday party in 1995, she had slowed down some by the time she was 120. Just some, though. She could no longer hear very well, and she had broken her hips. She couldn't walk. She had cataracts, but she was still hanging in there. She didn't know how to believe for the sharp eyesight Moses had, so it was hard for her to see. But even with those difficulties, her good humor was intact. When reporters asked her what kind of future she expected, she didn't miss a beat. She said, "A very short one." What wisdom did Madame Calment have to share that might give us insight into her longevity? Here's what she said. "I've had a beautiful life. I've had good health. I took pleasure when I could. I acted clearly and morally without regret." Glory to God. Hallelujah. As far as I can tell, Madame Calment did not know the Lord, but even so, she tried to do what was right and avoided the stress of guilt and shame that comes when doing wrong. The Bible leaves no question about it. That's a good way to lengthen your days. Stress is a killer. You know what? If we're in faith, we ought not be in stress. Faith believes it receives when it prays, so stress ought to be out the window. If you believe you receive the answer to the problem, then you don't have to get in stress about it. Isn't that right? And you have to walk faith out. You can't just pray and then worry and complain and carry on about the problem and tell everybody you see that you're sick or your account's going down and you don't have enough money to live on, whatever. What do? We pray. We believe God. We believe we receive when we pray, and then we say what we have. We say what we believe because we took it. Right? Faith takes the answer when it prays. Now, this lady has some interesting things to say in about her. This is Mrs. Diaz from Florida, who lived to be 114. The article I read about her said she loved everybody. She would kiss and hug all the people that came to her house to visit her. What does the Bible say we're supposed to do? We're supposed to walk in love. So she did it. Love is our commandment. She was keeping the commandment that'll keep us long and strong. Now she also did this, and I don't recommend this at all. And she only lived to be 114. She was from Florida. Sad to say, Mrs. Diaz also rolled and smoked her own cigars. Now, that's not a good idea if you want to live long. Don't roll your own, or don't buy ready-mades either. Don't smoke anything. And who knows how long she might have lived if she hadn't made those cigars. She might still be among us today. Glory to God. Granny Cooper was 112 at the time I read about her. She had good advice for those who desire to live long and happy lives. Be lively, she said. Now, that's pretty good advice. In other words, get with it. Don't just drag around. She said it's just as easy to be lively as it is to sit there and bite other people's heads off and be sour all the time. And I think she's got something there. Attitude is a lot of it. Unlike other centenarians, I found Granny Cooper pointed to her relationship with the Lord as part of her life and longevity. She said, I've read the Bible through, and I've read a lot of Billy Graham's books and sermons or articles. She said, I don't really care much for TV. I used to watch the soap opera As the World Turns, but I stopped that. Now, that was smart, wasn't it? I think that was a very good choice. Granny Cooper also declared that church had been her guidance and the main interest in her life. Ever since I can remember, church has been important to me. In addition to living many years, she also remained in near perfect health for 112 years. She only had one hospital stay, and it was due to a hip injury, not an illness. Even at 112, she never complained of so much as a headache. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A great percentage of centenarians are women. Plenty of men pass 100 live full of energy as well. Reverend Lawrence Scott, I got this out of, I'm not sure. I'll probably tell you where I got it in a minute. I've gotten out. Lawrence Scott's one of them. Reverend Scott hails from Clinton, Oklahoma. So he's close to where we live. According to an article written about him in a magazine in 1995, Reverend Scott's first wife died after they had raised their 8 children. And at the age of 88, he fell in love with and married a member of his congregation. This is the pastor. But he's a widower, you know, so it was okay for him to marry. He married a member of his congregation. And at the time of the article, they had celebrated their 18th anniversary. He had been in the ministry for 78 years. He said, I just preached the Bible. At the time of his 104th birthday, he had no plans to slow down. He awakened every day at 2 a.m. to prepare the sermon for church. He said, I have to get up early in the morning and write. It's the best time to hear from God. All the men who live long don't necessarily have as sterling a reputation as Reverend Scott did. Take the case of Thomas Parr, for example. According to the 18th century Bible scholar Adam Clark's commentary, Mr. Clark, who resided in Clinton, England, several centuries ago, far outlived all seeming biblical age limits. At the age of 88, he married his first wife, by whom he had 2 children. At the age of 102, he fell in love with Catherine Milton, by whom he had an illegitimate child. This is a parson. That's something you just don't expect from a 102-year-old man. He repented of his sin in church, and at the age of 120, he married again. Oh, my. This is Adam Clark's Bible commentary is where I got this. You know he wouldn't tell a lie. It is said that at 130 years of age, he still worked outdoors and was capable of doing all kinds of farming tasks. He died at 152. In 1635, after seeing the rise and fall of 10 kings and queens in England. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He lived a long time and he had quite a life to go with it. Adam Clark's commentary says, it gives us the story of Mrs. Summerhill in Bristol, England, who in the year 1790, when she was 106 years of age, could still read the smallest print without spectacles. Although she was unable, due to physical weakness, to go to her normal place of worship, she would read the whole service of the church for each day of the year with all the lessons and songs. Mrs. Summerhill had been a member of the Methodist Society from its beginning after hearing John Wesley's sermon when he visited Bristol in 1739. She was so struck with his clear manner of preaching. Now, I'm telling you, this was a word woman. She was so struck with his clear manner of preaching the doctrine of justification through faith, she followed him on foot, a journey of 125 to Portsmouth, a journey of 125 miles. Now, she loved the word. It says she was obviously a lover of God's word. The last time Mr. Clark visited her in 1790, he said, "I was admitted by a very old, decrepit woman, then a widow of 75 years of age, and the youngest daughter of Mrs. Summerhill. I found the aged woman's faculties strong and vigorous, her eyesight unimpaired." She'd been a widow now for 75 years, though she was then confined to her bed and was hard of hearing. She died rejoicing. She lived to be 106. She died rejoicing in God the following year. And so on and so on. He's got one here, 119, 145, 185. And then this is a modern day woman. This, I got this out of the Detroit paper, had her picture in there. "One of my favorite centenarians, a feisty little woman from Detroit, Michigan, may not have lived as long as Countess of Desmond, but I can tell you that what she lacked in years, she made up for in spunk. Her name was Rosa Lee Ellis. When she was 112, a newspaper in Detroit printed an article about her. Quote, a burglar, this is the article about her, a burglar received a painful surprise early Thursday when he tried to rip off 112-year-old Rosa Lee Ellis. He forced his way through her East Side Detroit home and tried to steal her money and valuables. How did Rosa Lee respond to her intruder? She grabbed him. I'm not going to say where. But when he retaliated by throwing her to the floor, she reportedly held on to him, putting a most sensitive part of his body in a vice-like grip that put her in control of the situation. That woman was 112. Although the intruder experienced pain, he escaped without permanent injury. And here's what her son said. It's a good thing she didn't have her gun. That was the only thing that saved him, he said. Neighbors agreed and confirmed Rosalie's remarkable energy and attitude. They said she rode her motorcycle through the neighborhood until she was in her 80s. When asked about the incident, Rosa Lee herself said, "I don't harbor any ill will. I don't hate the man. I don't hate anybody." She attributed her positive outlook and longevity to serving God. Hallelujah. Now here's one of Ken's favorite centenarians, John Miller. He was a famous airline pilot just because he had been flying so long. He was still flying over 100 when I read an article about him in 2006. Glory to God. I'm telling you. He was known for a good, like most centenarians, he was known for having a good attitude. He wasn't negative. He wasn't a complainer. He was a can-do kind of guy. He loved flying since he was a youngster, and over the years he saw amazing change in aviation industry. Consider this. The Wright brothers' first successful airplane flight at Kitty Hawk took place in 1903, just 2 years before Mr. Miller was born. In 1920s, he had the opportunity to get acquainted with Charles Lindbergh. At over 100 years of age, he said, "I'm still instrument rated and current. I fly all the time." And you know, you have to be current. You have to get checked and so on. "I'm not doing any professional flying now. I'm just flying for fun." He was over 100 and still flying. He said, I flew to North Carolina with a friend to celebrate my 100th birthday. I have 3 motorcycles and 4 automobiles. I don't drive the motorcycles much anymore," he said. And at the age of 98, he was flying to the Kitty Hawk anniversary celebration. Glory to God. He had to walk more than 2 miles from the parking lot in the freezing rain. His comment, "Well, at least I got my morning walk." So he wasn't a bellyacher or a complainer. Glory to God. He lived till he was 102. So God wants us to live long and live strong. We see it in the Word. Even people that don't know the Lord have lived long. We see that if you had to pick a time, it would be a limit. You could shoot for 120, but don't go for the 100. Don't go for the 70 or 80 stuff, because that is not a set limit. Let's look. Unless you're in the wilderness and you were in the, if you were in the wilderness, then you had an age limit put on you. Let's look at. I'm going to read this. I think I read this, but I want to read it again in Proverbs 3. This is such a great scripture. "My son, forget not my law." Now, this is the key. We're word people. We're going to live a long time. We're going to live a long time because we believe the word. We act on the word. We do what the word says, so we're obedient. And we get long life. "My son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of a life worth living in tranquility, inward and outward, and continuing through old age." So we don't just write off the last 10 or 20 years of our lives because we're old. Proverbs says, peace and good life continue inward, outward, through old age, till death, till our departure, in other words, these shall they add to you. And then it says, let not mercy and kindness, shutting out all hatred and selfishness and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy or falsehood, forsake you. Let not mercy and kindness forsake you. So we know what mercy is. Mercy is being easy on people. Being quick to forgive. Not holding anything against anybody. And hypocrisy or falsehood or hatred or selfishness, it says. We hold on to the truth. We shut out hypocrisy and falsehood. We don't let them forsake us. We're honest. We're true. We bind them about ourselves. It said, bind them about your neck and write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor, good understanding, high esteem in the sight of God and man. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own understanding or insight. In all your ways, know, recognize, acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord. And, this is a big one, turn entirely away from evil. I think what gives us the best opportunity for long life is being word people. Doing what the word says. If we do what the word says, we're going to have to walk in love. We're not going to be in unforgiveness or hold things against people or be mean. We're going to be, the love of God. The scripture says in the Corinthians, love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. That's the Amplified. Takes no account of the evil done to it. pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Look at all the trouble and worry and strife you can alleviate by walking in love. Love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. That means we don't have to be upset when somebody does us wrong. We have power. We have power. What is it? Power to forgive. To say, oh, well, that's okay. That's all right. Lord bless them. That's all right. Now, are we supposed to pray for people that use and persecute us? That's what the Bible says. It says to walk in love. Love's not touchy, fretful, or resentful. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Do you know people have cut their lives short because they got their feelings hurt? Some people get their feelings hurt and it lasts for years. If somebody hurts your feelings, immediately say, Lord, that's okay. I forgive them. Don't hold it against them, Lord. They don't know any better. Bless them. Now what happened? Well, you just went free and you let them go free. Glory to God. That's love. Pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Does not rejoice. Love does not rejoice when unrighteousness prevails. Glory to God. We walk in love. What's our commandment? Love. To walk in love. That is our commandment. Well, it's not just because God was trying to do other people good. He was trying to do us good. What happens if somebody does you wrong, you don't pay any attention to it, and you just go right on about your business? What happens? Nothing. The blessing. I want to read all that about love. And I got to where I couldn't quote it right. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious. Now, we know we're not supposed to be envious. Or boils over with jealousy. It's not prideful. It's not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Love is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. This is the way to live long and strong. It's not rude, unmannerly. We're not rude. Does not act unbecomingly. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own ways. Did you know just that one thing can cut your life short? Right. You insist on it has to be my way or the highway? You're that kind of a personality? What is that? That's strife. What if you just said, well, Lord bless you. I mean, the Lord bless you and go on about your business. Hallelujah. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way. It's not self-seeking. So we can see how that would lead to long life. It is not, get a hold of this one. It is not touchy. You can save yourself so much pain and agony if we just won't be touchy. What if somebody says something ugly to us? Well, if we don't pay attention to it, it didn't hurt us. Somebody mistreats you, if you say, Lord, I forgive them, help them, and you go on about your business, you're free. They're not your problem. Whatever they're going to do, that's their business. But we don't have to join in on it and get a part of their problem and let it become our problem. So love does not insist on its own right or its own way. How many marriages could be saved if they did this? It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. You cannot walk in the love of God and be obedient. You can't be obedient without walking in love. That's our commandment. Now, you can't walk in love and be resentful, touchy, fretful, or resentful. Amen? Oh, my marriage would be so much easier if you didn't get your feelings hurt. Well, what if somebody does you wrong? Here is the power. Here is the thing you do. The power is not fighting back. The power is saying, Lord, I forgive them. I bless them. Forgive them for that. They didn't mean to do that, or they don't know what they're doing, or whatever. I forgive them. I hold nothing against them. What happens? You just went free. You just got yourself in a position of protection. Protection against what? Evil, sickness, disease. A lot of people are sick because of this very thing. Resentfulness or feel like somebody did them wrong and they talk about it for the rest of their lives and they hold things about against people. Now God says our commandment is love. Love is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. pays no attention to a suffered wrong, does not rejoice at unrighteousness, and rejoices when right and truth prevail. So we have power. How come? Because the love of God shed abroad in our heart. That's the most powerful thing in your life, is the love of God shed abroad. Where other people are concerned, is the love of God shed abroad in your heart. If you're holding anything against anybody, I don't care what they did, I don't care what you think they deserve, that's not your place. That's not my place. My place is to keep my heart right. My place is to give if somebody does me wrong. Your place is to forgive. That's a power place. That's a powerful place. You can forgive anybody of anything, and then what happens? You're free. It's not your problem what they do or what happens then in the future where they're concerned. You're free. Amen? So we're love people. Love does not insist on its own right or its own way. For it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. If we're walking in love, somebody does us wrong, we forgive them. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. Glory to God. What happens? We're free. We go free. We say, I forgive them. You go on about your day and have a good day. Amen. It's to our advantage. It's giving, but yet it's to our advantage. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up. This is how strong love is. Under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Hallelujah. That's what we do. We believe, don't we? We walk in love. We believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Ooh. You think, well, should I really forgive them? Yes, you really should. What will happen to me if I forgive them? You will never fail. Glory to God. What happened to me if I don't forgive them? You don't want to know. You'll open yourself up to bad things because you're not keeping the law of love. That is our law. That is our commandment, to walk in love. Hallelujah. And we can do it because the love of God's been imparted to us. When we were born again, the love of God was imparted to us in our spirit. We can do it. It says in chapter 14, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your great aim, your great quest, and earnestly desire and cultivate the spiritual gifts. Make love your aim, your great quest. If you could take one thing today, if you have any situations with people, and most of you already know you're supposed to love anyway, but if there's anything that's hanging out in there that's against anybody, maybe they did you wrong, maybe your parents did you wrong, maybe your brother or sister did you wrong, maybe somebody at work did you wrong, well, if you're going to be scriptural, you're going to say, Lord, I forgive them. I don't hold that against them anymore. I release them. I pray for them. Doesn't the Bible say pray for those that use and persecute you? That was for your sake that the Lord said that. That was not for their sake, because when you hold something against somebody, it's not hurting them, it's hurting you. Glory to God. So we are born of God. We're born in love. We walk in love. We act in love. We talk in love. And when we fail, we repent and we make it right. Now that's the way to stay. That's one way to stay well and to stay strong and to stay prosperous. Hallelujah. To keep the commandment of love. And it's a job sometimes, but we can do it. Hallelujah. Let's see. We talked about 120. How old is old? Well, maybe 120 would be old. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. in Psalm 107:20, and that word destructions is in the Hebrew is graves. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their graves. Walking in love is our word. It'll deliver us from our grave, hallelujah. We can live out the full number of our days. But if we're going to hold things, be bitter, not forgive, it'll cut our life short. And what's more, the life that we do have won't be nearly as much fun. I'm telling you, it's a power thing. It's a strong thing. When somebody does you wrong, to say, I forgive them, Lord. I pray for them. I don't hold that against them. I ask you to forgive them. What happened? Well, you went free. You don't have to think about it anymore. You don't have to lie awake at night and think of ways to get even. You can just forgive if you have aught against any. Remember that scripture. Write that down. Forgive. I am to forgive if I have aught against any. Now you get that into your thinking and into your heart. And every time somebody does something to you, does you wrong, you remember that. I'm not to have aught against any. I'm not to have aught against any. Just that one thing will cause your days to be better. Will cause your days to be longer on the earth. Because you forgive, and when you forgive, you go free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just pray. Father, we love you. We set ourselves, Lord, we take it. We know it's your commandment for us to walk in love. And we set ourselves and we determine that we are going to walk in the love of God. We're going to respond in love. We're going to talk in love. We're going to act in love. Holy Spirit, rise up within us to help us in this. Give us words and give us recollection of what the scripture says at the right moment so that we stay whole, we hold fast. Give us a revelation of walking in love, a revelation of speaking love words and acting in love toward any. And if we committed sin toward anybody or any words we've spoken, Lord, against anybody, we right now just repent of it. Just repent of any words, even whether you remember them or not. We repent, Lord, of any words we've said out of love in our whole life. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. And we ask you to train us, to bring it to our remembrance, to help us always to walk in the love of God. And we ask you, Lord, for revelation of it. Give us a greater revelation of the love of God. So great that we can talk in love and act in love all the days of our lives and be pleasing to you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Do you receive that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, that'll go a long way. We didn't get very far in what I was going to preach today, but that'll go a long way in keeping you living long and living strong and keeping sickness away from the midst of you. You know, you don't have to put up with resentment. You don't have to labor under it. When somebody does you wrong, you have power. What is that power? The power to forgive. I forgive, Lord. I forgive. The Bible says if you have aught against any. So that's a settled issue. We don't have aught against any. We're not taking on any unforgiveness. We're going to walk in love. We're going to forgive. We're going to walk in victory. Glory to God. We know that faith works by love. The Bible says that. So we're not going to have strong faith. We're not going to be good faith people if we don't walk in love. But we do walk in love. Amen. We do forgive. And whatever things you thought about today, if you thought about anything that was a situation in your life, if it tries to come up again, just say, no, I've forgiven that. I'm free of that. Lord bless them. Help them. I'm free of that. I'm not taking that on again in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your blessing and your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the people of God and the fact that these people and we do too, we want our hearts to be right before you. And we want to be taught about what to do and what not to do and what pleases you. And so we as a group, we just come together today and we believe and we confess the love of God. We have forgiven any. We have forgiven any, every person of everything that's ever been done to us. We ask you, Lord, for their freedom from that, that they go free from it, as we go free from it, and we walk by faith and not by sight. Faith works by love. Our faith is stronger because we walk in love. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, we receive the healing anointing flowing into people's body. We receive the healing power of God flowing into people. Right now, they've gotten rid of things that was unlovely and unforgiveness and thorns in the heart. And we just receive that healing anointing. I speak the word of healing in Jesus' name. Be made whole. Receive your healing right now. Put your hands on your head and say, I receive my healing.
I am healed.
I forgive.
And I am healed.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet. Body be made whole.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory to God.
I receive it. Hallelujah. I receive it. I'm healed. In the name of Jesus. I'm healed, Lenny.
Awesome.
Amen. Praise God.